Experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist. You're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thank you for joining us this morning. And I especially want to thank my sponsors for being a part of the Art Zany community. I am so proud and pleased that I have such terrific sponsors, and it really does make a difference. And I also want to make sure that everybody is ready and warmed up to ignite their imagination. I'm going to open up with a piece. This is from the extraordinary violinist Francesca, I've got to get her name right, Anderegg. I hope I said that correct. Paul, you can probably correct me if it's best to your knowledge.
Good morning, Paula. It sounded perfect to me.
Okay, good. That's good. She is just an extraordinary violinist, and since I first heard her play, I've been really, really, truly enjoying her work. And this is a piece. It's called Imagined Archipelagos, and it is composed by her husband, who I didn't know until I did research for this show, Reynaldo Moya. And I couldn't even decide which version to play, but I think we're just going to open up with the very first part of it. It's a four-part piece, and this first one is called The Island of, of Many Calendars, which I think at this point of the year is probably a very appropriate piece. So let's just take a listen and get a little hint of this great American composer on Art Zany Radio. Francesca Anderegg, and she is an assistant professor of violin at St. Olaf College, a professor of music, I should say, violin at St. Olaf College, and that was composed by her husband, the fantastic Reynaldo Moya, who is an assistant professor of composition at Augsburg. And it is the piece called "The Island From the Island of Many Calendars," and this was from the Imagined Archipelagos. And so it's really a beautiful album. It's called Wild Cities. And it was inspired by the poem Wild Cities. The piece, the album is inspired by Wild Cities. And it's from the poem After Dead Souls by Allen Ginsberg. And since we love poetry on Art Zany Radio, I'll read you the poem because I think it's really extraordinary. And so maybe you can imagine where the rest of the album goes. After Dead Souls by Allen Ginsberg. Where, O America, are you going in your glorious automobile, careening down the highway, toward what crash in the deep canyon of the Western Rockies, or racing the sunset over Golden Gate, toward the what wild city jumping with jazz on the Pacific Ocean? The Ginsberg poem suggests both this journey and a destination, and this Imagined Archipelagos fuses the minimalist gestures, this is from the album description, with the fast revolving rhythms and fluidity of Venezuelan folk music. So that's a little introduction to one of the components of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra concert, Latin Inspirations, that we're going to be talking about. And so I think that piece really did inspire me to think about adding some more music to my calendar and to really, I don't know, it's been really amazing. We're in a new space now, and my grandma's old piano is in more of the front of the house now, and the kids are doing what I used to do when I was a kid, which is just enjoying, I'll call it pounding out some sounds, because it's just a way for them to be satisfied by making something that expresses how you're feeling and getting lost in those notes. And I think that it's really exciting for me to see that the kids have found the piano keys on my grandma's piano. And on this May the 4th, may the force be with you, I am wishing my son good luck, because he decided to learn how to play part of the Star Wars theme, which I'm not even sure what the heck part it is, but he's doing that at a little talent show today, so that's kind of exciting to see. And we all need some more music in our life, so the perfect person to have with us in the studio is Paul Nemisto. Welcome to Art Zany Radio again.
Well, thanks. That was interesting to hear that piece. First of all, it sounds very much like the kind of compositional materials that Reynaldo has used on this new concerto that we're going to premiere.
This is very exciting.
The one thing that was a little bit confusing about that little sequence of the short excerpt from his violin piece, and then listening to the Ginsberg poem. The Ginsberg poem seems so active, almost violent, a little bit with racing cars and running over canyons and things, whereas the violin piece was really rather peaceful and rather serene, and that's much closer to what he comes up with. Also, even in the more active parts of the new concerto, it's fairly civilized and very contained. The music is tonal in a greater sense, and it deals a lot with little snippets of rhythmic material or melodic material that repeat themselves. And he mentioned in the notes there about the minimalism, which is to some extent there too.
Yeah, no, and I think that the whole entire album collection was inspired by that, and that piece that I played was just the part one of part four of that,
right.
That Island of Archipelagos.
That's all right, but I could tell the difference between the poem and the music. They didn't come out of the same sort of thought process, I don't think.
It would be great to explore, and I think we could ask him, or we could ask Francesca, because we're blessed that they're both connected to
Northfielders.
That's a pretty extraordinary thing, and I goofed that up when I just mentioned it. It was Imagined Archipelagos is the name of the entire piece, and then there's four parts to it.
Right.
all of which is just a really incredible journey that you take as you listen to that music. So, Paul, you are the founder and conductor of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. You've been a friend on Art Zany Radio for many times.
Maybe sometimes too many times.
No, I genuinely want to thank you because I have learned so much from you, and every time I learn something, because you do so many different styles and have so many great guest artists, and it's really just an incredible experience to have you here and to preview some of these shows that are upcoming.
Well, thank you. The orchestra and the community are just a playground for the likes of me who likes to create things of this type, and there's opportunities there, and with a little bit of care you can really pull off some pretty wild stuff in Northfield.
That's true, because the talent pool is rich and deep and vast, and it's a lot of fun. We should tell people that concert we were referencing, the Latin Inspirations concert from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, is next Friday. Well, actually, two Fridays.
That's right. It's 2 weeks away. And if you want to reuse this recording sometime, what we're making right now, a little closer to the concert, that's okay with me, too.
Okay. Yes, we'll make sure to promote it again, because it's Friday the 18th at St. Dominic's Church in Northfield. That is an evening concert at 7 p.m. And then Saturday the 19th, the tour moves to Paradise Center for the Arts, downtown Faribault. That's on the 19th, and that is an afternoon concert at 4:30.
Right.
So, two opportunities to see the same concert, but in two different locations, which is a really a fun thing that you do, so a lot of different community members can have access to the great music.
Well, we are a regional orchestra, so we have to look at the whole Cannon Valley line of the water line that comes from over in the lakes in the south central Minnesota, works its way to the Mississippi, and anywhere along there is fair territory for us.
That's true. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the idea of being a conductor. And I was thinking as I was imagining my, you know, playing with the idea of my kids learning how to bang out some sounds on the piano, that as a conductor, what do you have to be fluent in every instrument that you're conducting? Do you have to learn a piano? What are the ways that you as conductor are knowledgeable of each of the instruments? Because you're advising and directing multitudes of instruments.
Yeah, that's a tough one. There's so many. First of all, there are many different kinds of conductors, and they do many, many different things. An opera conductor probably needs to be absolutely a brilliant pianist to be able to do at-site piano reductions of opera scores, not only for rehearsal purposes with singers, but also just to realize the all the things that are going on. It's a big, thick thing, and it's a certain kind of genius. I've watched it in awe when it happens. It's amazing that somebody can take a 20-line score, put it up on the music stand on a piano, and you've got 10 different keys going on because everything's transposed, and they just pull it out and they make it happen. It's just wonderful. That's the upper extreme in my view of my own experience. But there are a lot of conductors in America because there's a fairly strong mandate for public school education. And you'd have to say that every junior high string teacher and every elementary band conductor is a conductor. And they have to learn the same skills. There's a grammar to it. There's certain moves that are expected to create certain results. And the science of teaching conducting has evolved greatly in the last 40, 50 years. There have been some great teachers that have had their influence on the next generation and then they teach it, it goes on that way. And so there are good models. As far as knowledge of instruments is concerned, one of the greatest needs for that is at the point in which something new comes across the desk of the conductor, something that hasn't been heard before and hasn't been seen before, and to be able to look at it and to see whether the demands of on the instruments are... Well, there's too many possibilities. One of them is too high, too low, too easy, too hard, too fast. too slow, and how those things would fit into the mission of the conductor in terms of how the conductor is addressing the needs of the ensemble. And so that evaluative aspect comes only through good training and some experience as well. And that's why often students who are trained in instrumental music education, where they're expected to have some basic experience on the whole family of instruments, all instruments, woodwinds, brass, percussion, and strings, so that they can go to these situations where they have to evaluate a piece, and then also to prepare that piece for rehearsal, to anticipate where the problems are going to be so that they can allot time for certain exercises to try to solve the problems of that given piece. So there's from the opera conductor to the fifth grade band director, there's a wide range of needs, and sometimes if you go to watch a symphony concert and you'll look at the grammar of the conductor, often the fame of the person is better than the conducting grammar. And the players have a way of working their way around it. A famous name, I'm not going to name any names, but there are some names who come out of other areas of music, like instrumental performance, like a solo cellist or a solo violinist or pianist, goes to the podium, and they were probably grammatically a much better pianist than they are a conductor, but that doesn't mean that their ear and their imagination aren't very good. But then sometimes it's up to the players to overcome any deficiencies there, so it works out. And professional players know how to do that.
Yeah, and that is, I think that's a really interesting aspect of the orchestra and, you know, putting together a performance, and something we don't often think about. You know, it's not just simply keeping the beat and standing and making sure everybody is in line.
So the other thing then, if you look at it from the other aspect, you look at the fifth grade band conductor, maybe the demands for him or her to be a really excellent technician with the baton is greater, because then he is really shaping these players and shaping their expectations and training them how to watch a conductor and all of these things. So there's no one formula there. It depends on the personal attributes of the individual.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating piece, and you're clearly extraordinary, because every concert that I've been to of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra has really just been such a great way to spend a few hours immersed in the music. And I also always say about the Cannon Valley concerts, make sure you get there a little bit early so you can spend time reading the program, because they do have really great details about the pieces that you're going to present, the history of the composers, or you know the era in which it was developed, or how the artists connect. I mean, there's something you do a lot of prep work too.
It's important. It's important.
And this one will be fascinating, because Reynaldo Moya, as you mentioned, is going to be premiering a piece.
Well, his piece is going to be premiered. He himself is not
going to
read a note.
I incorrectly stated that, yes.
The story of this concert is, well, we have, if one were to go and look at a whole bunch of programs over the last several years of the CVRO and what we do, we have a fairly frequent recurrence of some kind of an ethnic or national theme to our music. And we've done French, and we've done Russian, and we've done German, and so forth. And sometimes it's because of if we do a period, like we did a concert last fall in which we had a piano concerto, and they sort of some pieces that complement the concerto, and it turned out to be a fairly Germanic sort of concert. Not that was the idea I had in my head. I was trying to have the pieces match each other. But oh, and by the way, they're fairly Germanic. So, but in this case, we're consciously going into the world of Latino music, which, if you want to define it in specific terms, if you're a musicologist or someone who's trying to study the forms or the idioms that are used in this music, it has various influences. One of them, of course, is the Ottoman era in Spain. And so there is a lot of the of the Arabic influences on Spanish music. As a matter of fact, one of the pieces that we're doing with the Ballet Folklorico of the little dance group here in Northfield is called Jarabe Tapatio. And Jarabe is the Spanish word for Arabic.
Mm.
And so the dance forms have that influence. So that's one of them. The other one, if you studied Renaissance music at all, you'll find that the Spaniards had a very unique sound to their especially instrumental, well, all of it actually, instrumental and vocal music, that you can distinctly tell this is Spanish Renaissance music. It's not from France, not only because of the language, because of some of the idioms. And the element of the guitar, which is also Arabic, by the way. And so there's a lot of that influence. And then if you look at the other things that we call Latino music in America, then there's also a fairly strong Afro influence, especially on South American countries like Venezuela and Argentina and Brazil. And then in addition to that, there is the Native American mestizo culture, which has its own instruments and its own dances. And so you take all of those and you mix them around, and then you throw in a few other things like Germans in South Texas and so forth. And then you come up with kapow. You've got mariachi and you've got banda and you've got all these things. And it's interesting to listen to Ronaldo's music. He's Venezuelan, which of course is a high profile these days in instrumental music because of the what's called el sistema. It's a way of teaching instrumental music in the ghettos of Rio de Janeiro.
Oh.
And so I'm not sure. I don't know what's the big town in Venezuela. I should know that.
Caracas. Okay.
As a matter of fact, one of the results of that whole system is the conductor of the Los Angeles Philharmonic right now.
This is something I hadn't known. And
so anyway, he has that, and you'll hear the influences, and it sounds, you can sort of hear all these mixtures and a lot of elements of dance to this. And there's a lot of the music that we're going to be playing on this concert is dance music, even though it's not always everybody dancing. There might be some people clapping in the audience by the time we get done, though. So anyway, that's it. So that's how we started the theme. We wanted to do this, and then, well, what are local resources? Well, okay, well, we talked about. I asked some people that I know in the Latino community if there are any artists who might want to perform with us, and then I remembered my own experience as a young kid up in the UP of Michigan. One of the first really true solid international artists I heard, maybe at the age of 13 or 14. Was Rafael Mendez, who was a Mexican trumpet player with a huge reputation in the United States and maybe did as much as anybody in promoting Mexican music in the popular world at that time. This had been, of course, mostly in the 50s and 60s. And I wanted somehow to play tribute to him in this concert, and so I thought about, well, let's get a trumpet player to do that. And so I said, let's go for the top. So I gave Manny Laureano a call with the Minnesota Orchestra, and he agreed to do it. We didn't make any particular confinements as to what we were going to do. We were going to do something. And then the idea popped into my head, well, this is a great chance to get some new music written. And then that's when I thought about Ronaldo, and I said, okay, we have got something to do here. And so we got a grant. We commissioned Ronaldo to write this concerto, which he calls A Matter of Taste.
I'm intrigued.
And so all the titles are different taste sensations. Salty, sweet,
ooh,
umami. And so each one of them has that kind of a influence. And I haven't really gone very far into the connection between the name and the music. I'm more into the music right now. So it's kind of a concerto, but it's in five short movements. And Manny's really excited about getting this thing going. We're going to start rehearsing here pretty soon. We're bringing him down here. And it's so much fun to work on. It's so much fun to work on. It's just wonderful sounds.
And how for you as a conductor working on a piece of a living composer, and especially a premiere of a piece, how does that feel for you? Does that add a little extra pressure to get it right? Do you speak directly with the composer about the decisions that you're making?
Well, different composers over the years have reacted to this. I mean, there are all kinds of examples of composers who sort of micromanage, go to rehearsals, try to have some influence on things. But I don't think that Rinaldo has that in mind. I have conferred with him about some different things I had questions about, and we've solved those. But for the most part, I think he wants us to take it and bring it where we want it to be. And so we have certain concepts of how it's going now based on the rehearsals, and it's we like where we are with it right now. I know that when Manny comes in on with rehearsal next week, that we will be adapting to his ideas of how it's going to be. So that's going to be a real dialogue in music without words. He wants to do it this way. Okay, we'll do it that way, and so it goes. Other than that, no, I think the pressure is, those that know Rinaldo's music, he's written things for the Minnesota Orchestra, and he's written pieces for groups here in the college groups here in Northfield. He's known to not necessarily write easy stuff. And so there have been challenges that have been reported to me about putting things together. But this one, I don't really feel that this is out of our range. We're going to be fine with this. So that's reassuring for us. We know where we're headed with it. And so it's going to be exciting. I don't know that the typical Latino citizen of Rice County is going to go to that concert and know exactly what it is they're listening to. But that's okay. We're going to take them on a journey. The rest of the concert is we're going to do just a typical paso doble called El Relicario, and then we're going to do a set of small Mexican dances that are by an American arranger, and then we're going to have Folklorico do this jarabe, and then Yermo. Is going to come in.
Guillermo Calderon?
Yeah, Guillermo Calderon is going to come in and do pieces that he chose specifically. And I was surprised because I thought maybe he would choose things that are more indigenous or a little less well known. But he wants to do La Paloma.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And he wants to do La Bamba de Veracruz. And so he's going to sing those, and we're going to accompany him. And that's going to sort of be the capstone on the concert, the finale. And so that's what we're planning. That's what we're planning on doing.
That sounds like an extraordinary concert experience. And it sounds like there'll be something for everybody within that.
And oh, absolutely. We'll try to engage the audience as much as possible. My Spanish is negligent, nil. So I may occasionally have somebody help me out just to interpret things once in a while.
Certainly.
Because I think that we're really trying to appeal to the Latino audience in the community. And there's a need for all of us to break those walls and get to know each other a little bit better and to share each other's feelings about things. And this is one of the ways to do it.
And this is the Latin Inspirations Concert from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, which opens the 18th of May, which is a couple weeks from now. We're doing it a little bit early to promote this, but you can get your tickets now. You can go online to northfieldartsguild.org, and they have a link for you to easily get your tickets. It is at St. Dominic's Church. That's on Linden Street in Northfield. And then on Saturday, on the 19th at 4:30, they're at the Paradise Center for the Arts. So two great opportunities, and tickets are $15 for adults, $10 for students and seniors. But yes, I'll let you share that.
I don't want anyone to feel that there's any kind of a financial wall to get into this concert. If you come, bring the muchachos and the muchachas, and we want to see the place full, and don't worry about the money thing.
So yeah,
show up.
That's the important. Fill the church and fill the paradise, and that's the important part about this concert is, and you have, like, you know, I mean, just even any one of those components would be a true treat to be able to hear. But we have the Manny Laureano with the trumpet, just an extraordinary player who will highlight some of the music of. I've forgotten his name off the. Trumpet.
Well, we have this sort of in mind as an encore, and we haven't decided how we're going to handle this yet. But that was Manny's choice for if he wanted to do a tribute to Mendez, then it would be this Malagueña Salarosa,
right.
And that's a great piece, and you get an idea of how really thrilling this trumpet player was from the almost 75 years ago. This guy was just blowing the house down. It was wonderful.
See, now I have found a song, but I don't know that it's the same one, although a couple of sources that I saw, this is on the internet, said that they were similar. So this is the Malagueña, but it's not this Salarosa that you had mentioned.
Malagueña. Let's see what it is.
We'll try it, because the sound on this is better than the YouTube version.
As long as the guy playing is Mendez, we're cool.
It is Mendez. I made sure of that, because you're right. He is extraordinary. So let's take a listen, and as backup, we'll play the YouTube version.
It's all right.
Okay, let's see what we have. This is trumpet and Spanish guitar, Rafael Mendez.
Ooh.
That was Rafael Mendez and Laureano Almeida. I hope I got that right. Trumpet and Spanish guitar.
Also a very famous Spanish guitarist.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I thought it was a lovely rendition. Is it close to the one that you had?
Well, it's the same melody.
Okay, yeah. But it's a little different arrangement.
Well, it's different instruments.
And different instruments, right.
Yeah.
And so that's just a sample for people to get excited about some of the trumpet playing that will be a part of that concert.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that's actually a dance, the name of a dance, which is part of the whole concert, has kind of variations of.
Yeah. Actually, the word Malagueña is Spanish for a lady from Malaga.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful city. I have visited there, and would go back in a heartbeat. You're making me excited about maybe taking a trip.
Well, you head right straight to the travel office. Go ahead.
I would love to. And so the other thing you and I talked a little bit in advance about, which I thought was fascinating, is that the fact that you are working with a modern composer, and he's going to be. This piece is going to be premiered at the concert. The way in which you got score is interesting. I think that's a fun part of the story.
Yeah, well, Rinaldo is a modern composer, so not that all modern composers necessarily use the high technology that's available today. Some still go to the paper with a pencil and write it out that way. And who's to say that he didn't do that first? I didn't ever ask him. But he uses computer software to get the notation, where you can use coding on the keyboard to indicate what the name of the note is and what the length of the note is and what follows it and so forth. And so you can kind of type things in fairly quickly. One nice thing about that is that almost every piece of music that we know of has some repetition involved, where you will use the same idea, even rhythmic idea, in another location on the score. So you can just copy that and drag it down. You don't have to rewrite it every time. So it's a time saver in a way. It's also rife with possibilities for mistakes.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's like the difference between handwriting or typing,
exactly.
Or editing with a word processing.
You put it in the context and you can get at the word in the wrong tense and whatever. Anyway, but what happens with computer software for music notation is that it also at the same time saves everything into a file that can be converted into sound. So you can create an electronic orchestra version of the music that's being composed, which then turns out to be a little bit of a study aid, not only for the conductor, but for the musicians as well. They can hear the general sense of the piece. Excuse me.
Yeah, right. Before they are coming together, they can each sort of study.
Yeah, they can get a sense of orally. I mean, if it's so lacking in any human emotion, those things are those digital recordings or those computer recordings don't have any humanity about them at all. They just are notes laid down in time, and it's always reassuring, and it's also very very joyful to hear real musicians actually make those sounds and how it is really a human art, and it's a human communication device, and that's really nice. So
we won't be replaced.
No. And I was talking to you about also the convenience. Then you can tell the computer to create individual parts for individual instruments. So that's not the other thing that every composer used to have to do, is to write out every violin part, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so and then they turned into a version called a PDF, a portable document file, which means that I can send Johnny Smith, the flute player, his part to Rinaldo's concerto for trumpet weeks in advance by email. And he can just take it, he just takes it and puts it in his printer and copies it and can practice it beforehand. So there are some nice elements to the new world of composition in terms of the practical matters.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you also mentioned, I thought that was really fascinating, that, you know, you can shape it to turn pages at places or...
Both for players and for conductors. You can set it up so that you get the page turned where the most number of bars of rest are, so you don't have to flip so fast and then miss the first couple notes and all these kind of things. This is all conveniences that are available, which...
Adaptations for visual needs or...
Right, size, yeah, and so forth, yeah.
I think it's pretty fascinating to think how that can, you know, help a composer, help the orchestra, you know, come to the music maybe a little bit sooner, be able to work on it in a way that fits, you know, what they want.
Yeah, they could use private time to get really ready, even if it's a due piece.
And have you rehearsed yet with the beautiful dancers from the Baye Folklorico?
I have not, but we know what they're going to do. The music is not not an issue. We just have to make sure that we approximate the tempos that they're used to. I actually talked to their ballet instructor yesterday about this. We were talking about how things might go. I don't know whether we're going to have anything more than a dress rehearsal with them. It may not be necessary. I think it's just for the kids, the children in the group, it's a little bit of an awesome experience for them to have real live musicians next to them, and it sort of shocks them for a bit until they get adjusted to it. We worked with them now a couple of different times. They were involved in a children's concert with us a couple of years ago, and then we also had them do a couple of dances in the Nutcracker last Christmas. They were there for that too. So,
So there
is. So we're somewhat experienced.
Yes. Yeah. But that's a lovely element. And of course, you know, if you haven't seen them, what you will remember are those beautiful, colorful skirts and the, you know, beautiful shapes they make with combining their bodies and those beautiful flares of color.
I'm waiting for them to get a couple boys in there. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, yeah. They should. It'll come.
Yeah.
So and then of course the vocalist, as we mentioned, Guillermo Calderon is going to do some of those classics. So it's a full concert.
Absolutely.
And it's coming up again on a couple weeks from now, the 18th and the 19th. And you can get all those details at northfieldartsguild.org under the music tab. You can click on the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. You have the concert series. And this is the conclusion of the season for this year.
Yeah. That's we're starting already. In June, we'll be having a meeting to talk about some. We have got next year pretty well planned already. We're going to be doing Rhapsody in Blue piano in October, and we're going to have a whole bunch of Christmas music with smaller groups for Winter Walk. We're doing a due on, I think it's May 2nd, I believe that's March 2nd, I'm sorry, on 2019, we're going to do a Mardi Gras ball.
Ooh.
And so we have a few things already kind of lined up.
When do you rest?
In between.
You do an amazing, amazing work in this community, and a great way to bring a music education to our community. Music, the sound of live performances. I think there's something so spectacular that you cannot get from even a beautiful recording, or the electronic version is not. It's not the same.
It is true, and live music is endangered. It's harder to get it to happen these days. It's harder to get people to know that they have to come and experience it in order to change their lives. They need to be there.
Right, right. And it's sort of this, it's an important part of the world that we've kind of left at the rapid pace of everything. We need more now than ever to have those moments where we're just immersed in it, whether it's, you know, walking in the quiet woods or sitting at a concert listening to singers or musicians, and letting our minds have that space to figure out, you know, the imagination and settle for a minute.
You just have to set time aside for your soul.
I love it. That's fantastic. Paul Nimesto, thank you so much for being here on Artsany Radio. I truly enjoy our conversations.
It's good to be here.
Folks, again, Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. I'll remind you as we go through the next few weeks about the concert, because I don't want you to miss that. But I also want to make sure that there's another opportunity to kind of bring a little bit of Latino into your life. The 8th Annual Latino and Friends Play Festival is coming up. That is May 11th. Is their opening night. It's also on the 13th at 3 p.m. and then the 18th and 19th at 7. That's at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. And all the proceeds from tickets go to the Latino Performing Arts class. There's a $15 suggested donation for that program. But I think, again, they have the same policy that they don't want to turn anybody away. So, it's a program where the kids spend almost the entire school year developing these storylines, working with each other, getting to know, and as you noticed, it's Latino and Friends, because they've expanded the ways that different students can participate, and you get to learn a lot about our community through seeing their performances, and it's one of the things that I look forward to every year. So I'm excited for them. Also want to mention there's a couple things. Again, we seem to be having kind of a Latin-Spanish show going on, because Arcadia Charter School is going to be doing Don Quixote, and this is an adaptation by Ann Ludlam and David Quicksall. This is, of course, Don Quixote and Sancho Panza. They are on stage. My kids got to see a sneak preview during the dress rehearsals, and they really loved Sancho Panza. So that's a fun aspect of it. And they are, of course, guided by Miguel de Cervantes. It's a Buddies on the Road saga. If you don't know it, Don Quixote and his loyal squire Sancho Panza are spurred on by Cervantes to battle giants. Or are they windmills? Rescue princess. Are you going to sing for us, Paul?
Well, I was thinking Dulcinea. Yeah. Well, other thing you think about, it's Cinco de Mayo coming right up, so you have to get out your sombrero and go into the street and make some noise.
That's right. So there is a lot of that energy in the air, and if you want to see Arcadia's presentation of Don Quixote, that is opening on Saturday the 4th, so... Wait, I've got that wrong. Friday the 4th. Tonight. Opened last night. And then tonight and Saturday they have performances at 7:30 at Arcadia. So it's just this one weekend. Tickets are $6 for adults, $4 for students out at Arcadia Charter School. Really just a lovely exploration of, I think there's so much, no matter what age you are, you can take away and learn from the story of Don Quixote and Sancho Panza. It's pretty... It's something that as you grow, it grows with you. And I love those kinds of shows.
Northfield Experience is now.
That's right.
You have to get out the Northfield News from Wednesday and read the page. Everything is there. It has been never done in this city before. And it's multimedia, multi-location. I can't believe how adventurous it is. I can't wait to go and see what's going to show up.
Yes, and then you can get your tickets at thenorthfieldexperience.com. Stephen Koplowitz was on a couple weeks ago with Janice and Steve, not remembering last names, goodness gracious. But it is something... It's one of those things that's really hard to describe, but when you start looking at the ways and the years that it's taken to develop this program, you will be astounded at what is going to be happening. In fact, if you don't have tickets, you might even still have a little bit of that experience because it's a walking piece. You all meet at the Grand Event Center, and there are performances Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So Friday tonight at 6 is the first performance, and then Saturday, 2 performances, 1 and 5.
Sunday?
And Sunday, yes, 1 and 5.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. There was something that was not in the paper. That's good to know.
Oh, yeah. There's three different days that they're performing, but only this one weekend. So, it's something that you will want to know. You will want to be able to say that you were there because it is an immersive experience. It is really hard to describe, but it's every piece was developed with each particular site in mind. And so it takes you from the Grand, and then you divide up into groups and you walk to different places, and at each place there's a different experience. It's visual, it's theatrical, it's there's dance. It's all inspired by the history and architecture and the uniqueness of Northfield.
I just thought of something. You bring your bike.
Oh, I don't know if we could ask if you can do that. Why not?
Why not?
I don't know. And if you do need some help, there is an ADA bus that's available if you request that. And so that's something that makes it accessible to everybody. But and then at the end, there's a bus ride that takes you out to the cemetery where you're going to hear the choir, the St. Olaf Choir, perform. Again, a new piece commissioned. I believe this Justin Merritt did this. So extraordinary. I mean, you have to get your tickets for that because it's here and then it's gone. So, folks, this is Art Zany. I'm really excited that you've been listening. I hope that you do add some of that Art Zany to your life this week and enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. Spring wouldn't be complete without the best 2 minutes in sports. The Paradise Center for the Arts annual Derby Party and Auction for the Arts is Saturday, May 5th, starting at 4 o'clock. Derby-themed games and food, fashion contests, plus live and silent auctions with great entertainment-style prizes, including Breakfast with the King, Joseph Hall Elvis, that is, a private concert with Dr. Hildebrandt, and even a traditional Maine lobster picnic. For more information or tickets, go to ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org or call 507-332-7372 or visit the Paradise Box Office.